Hi, and welcome to the radio version of DC Public Safety. I'm your host, Len Sipes. At our microphones today is Mike Hillard. He is a community supervision officer with a TIPS unit. Michael, did I get your last name correct?
That's absolutely correct.
All right, good. The TIPS unit. What is the TIPS unit?
Transitional Intervention Parole Supervision. It is the unit that is set up to help offenders releasing back into the community from the Bureau of Prisons or detention status. And we help them to make that transition back into community.
So everybody coming out of the prison goes through the TIPS unit. Everybody coming out of federal prisons, because again, as I said on other shows, as of August 2000, all DC code violators do now go into federal prison. There is no DC prison. It's all federal prison, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So the person comes out of federal prison and supposedly, theoretically, at least about 6 months before they come out, you're supposed to get their case file.
Ideally, yes. 6 months prior, sometimes it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, I've talked to some TIPS folks who have got the file like 2 days before the person's coming out. But ordinarily, you get it a couple months ahead of time.
Yes.
All right. And what do you do with that file?
Well, first of all, you have to understand that not all offenders coming through TIPS come out directly from the prison into the community. Some have the benefit of a residential reentry center.
Right. So they go to a community corrections facility here in the District of Columbia first.
Yes, a small segment of people do go to have the benefit of the halfway house.
Okay, so some come through the halfway house, some come straight from prison.
That's correct.
Okay. And at least at the halfway house, you have time to deal with them while they're in the District of Columbia. But if they come straight from the prison, that becomes a bit more difficult, doesn't it?
It does. We basically do a paper assessment. And a lot of our referrals and the information that is utilized is information that has been documented. In some of your other segments, I think you talked about, people talked about the pre-sentence investigation report. Mm-hmm. Again, this is a vital tool that we have that has already been completed, and we review this in addition. But it talks about what happened before the person went into the prison. We also require the Bureau of Prisons to forward us information documenting what has taken place, why he was incarcerated.
Right. So if the person got drug treatment in prison, if the person completed their GED in prison, if the person completed a welding certificate while in prison, you know all about that information.
Yes, and that would be very ideal. In an ideal world, these needs are identified when they first go to prison. In an ideal world, these needs are treated or enhanced while they're in prison, and those are the more favored offenders. They have a higher degree of success.
But like any other prison system in the country, not everybody gets what they need while they're in prison, especially if they go to these private prisons, because the resources just aren't there.
And that is one of the things that we do in TIPS. We try to identify the needs of the persons that are being released, and we try to match those with the resources that are in the community based on where we assess their needs to be at the time of release.
Now, we have general supervision, community supervision officers. Other people throughout the country would know them as parole and probation agents, and they're the person responsible for supervising the person in the community. You're sort of like the air traffic controllers. You take all the incoming air traffic and organize it and try to do the best you can to prepare that person for supervision before handing them off to the community supervision officer, correct?
To get them off to a good start, one of the important things that many of those people releasing, we identify where they're going to be living. Do they need housing? Do they need drug treatment?
I want to stop you right there. Okay, well, stop you right there in terms of housing and drug treatment. Housing in the District of Columbia, I mean, this is a hypersensitive, hyper-expensive real estate market. In many cases, in my years of working with offenders, when that person comes back, mom and dad don't want them. Brother and sister feel equally adamant that they don't want the individual, and you're stuck with this person who doesn't have housing. How do you find this person housing?
Well, again, recognizing that some people do get the benefit of a halfway house or residential reentry center.
Right.
Those people, assuming they have an opportunity to win employment opportunities, there are opportunities for them to develop independent living.
That's correct. So through the halfway homes, they have a chance to line up employment, line up housing.
Correct.
Okay. But for everybody else?
for those people releasing directly into the community, we're checking with their significant others, their family members, and, finding out if it's a suitable plan for them to return to that. In those instances where those people are homeless and do not have that family support, there is a provision made put forth by the U.S. Parole Commission, public law release. This gives a person an opportunity to still be released consistent with his release date or parole date, but he goes to a community correction center and he can stay for a period up to 4 months in a public law status.
You know, with this program could easily go a half an hour or an hour because we just barely scratched the surface. Drug treatment, beyond housing, employment, trying to act as a bridge between the offender and their families. You have an extraordinarily difficult job to try to package this individual, if you will, to the best of your ability to hand them off to that community supervision officer. I mean, there are so many things involved in that process. It's almost impossible to take care of everything in the small amount of time that you have them.
That is correct. And so, again, using the paper documentation that we have, our primary goal is to deal with those immediate needs. Far too many people drop off because of a high drug treatment need. So a large number of people that we deal with, we refer them into our reentry sanction center,
right,
which does a 28-day assessment,
right,
to look further into their drugs and try to identify residential or outpatient needs.
And it's extraordinary for a parole and probation agency to have what we have, which is basically a hospital wing of 100 beds on any given day devoted to people coming out of the prison system. And we do provide drug treatment for about 25% of the people who need it. But still, I mean, the majority we don't have money for the majority of the individuals who need drug treatment.
That is correct. So again, we make a lot of referrals to our central intervention team, and they again assess a lot of people who can, their drugs needs could be met on an outpatient basis. So they again try to match those people with the resources in the community in the different various programs. But another thing that TIPS do, we have mental health people, we have sex offender people. It's very critical for us to identify what unit of supervision these people will require, and that is one of our primary goals in transitional intervention parole supervision.
Mike, thanks for being at the microphones today.
Okay,